Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. This is the fourth week of the month. And as always, we have Nashville's municipal consultant, Dax Norton. Welcome and hello.
Yeah, hello. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Wasn't it just the fourth Wednesday of the month?
It seems that way. And you know what? I think it's something with the positions all of you are in, because this happens with every mayor every week. It's the first week. Are you sure, Joe?
I know. It's crazy. It's time, moving along.
Time flies. Well, you know, end of September, we're going to get to, I want to talk a little bit about the tourism industry there in Nashville in a little bit, but we always usually start the show with a coronavirus update. Brown County was in the red, now is in the orange state COVID metric, 12% all test positivity rate. Though we still keep hearing about healthcare workers, hospitals in crisis mode, half the state yet unvaccinated. We talk about this every week just because it's, you know, just such a pressing issue. But those who aren't affected, it's not maybe as higher priority. But for those who are, and people who are sick or dying, obviously it becomes a high priority. So, we've heard in Monroe County testing centers coming back, and some vaccination spots being built. What's the word there in Brown County?
Yeah, same. Testing center came back to the music center, I believe, but people are still pretty diligent on doing the things they need to do to stay safe in the county in Nashville. It seems that it's still on people's minds, so it hasn't gone away. There are still business owners who are requiring, some face coverings in their businesses. There are others who aren't. It's just kind of hit and miss, but I think everybody is understanding that, that Brown County and Nashville are going to get a lot of people that don't live there. And so hard to control that population, correct? And I think that all the measures that were taking place last year will be in place this year. There weren't really any, mandates that were brought upon anyone by the governmental entities. Just common sense, common courtesy. And if somebody has said, I don't really want you shopping in here without a face covering on, then please, we would encourage everyone to adhere to that. And if not, there are mechanisms that can be used to remove you from that facility. But I don't think we've seen a lot of out of the ordinary or angry or people who aren't courteous to others in the area.
What elements do local leaders need to make those decisions on COVID?
I think it's a matter of, is it out of control? Do we feel it's out of control, especially on the sickness side? You need as much fact as you possibly can receive. It's out of the hands of the health departments now and back into it's into the hands of the town council and I believe the county commissioners now. Both have stated, we're not going to mandate anything, but please, like I just said, please use caution, common sense, good hygiene, common courtesy. I think that they've used all the information they could possibly use from medical sources to make those decisions. And now it's been kind of a wait and see. The schools had to change course. Most schools in the state changed course. Didn't even get a month in before you started seeing mask mandates coming down in the school systems all the way up to the high school ages. So it's always a moving target, it seems. And you just have to really pay attention to the health numbers and health statistics to for them to understand how to make the decisions that they need to make if they need to go to a mandate of sorts. I know that there have been larger cities around us or near us that have not necessarily in the state of Indiana. I don't think it's happened in Indiana, except maybe in Monroe County. Some have gone into place. Places like Columbus, Ohio now have a, even if you're vaccinated, you're wearing a mask if you're inside, period. Places like, Raleigh, North Carolina. I go down a list of cities that have started to change course. So it's just a moving target, and we just have to pay attention closely and listen to the medical professionals.
Just to follow up on that, do you feel like the governor, the state is doing what they can to trickle down that data, that information, or doing their part in making local leaders' jobs easier?
Yeah, I believe so. The state health department, in conjunction with the local health departments, have been great in Brown County. They've worked with multiple different coalitions of leaders to keep the pandemic as much at bay as possible, because we have to rely on people coming to visit. So it's critical that people are healthy and that business owners are in their businesses and that they feel safe. And so I believe the state has done a good job trickling down information to the locals, and the locals can make their decisions.
And I believe I heard the Brown County Music Center is taking more strict COVID precautions in October. I think you might have to show either a negative COVID test or a vaccination card, I think, to even get in the building. Is that right?
I believe you are correct. So, it's been discussed even going back to virtual meetings. I know on the National Town Council side, masks sometimes are worn, sometimes they're not. So it's just moving. The goalposts continue to move, and we've got to move forward with them.
Well, last month we got an update on the town budget, as those, I believe, there's a timeline. I believe it's always in October. Is that right? It has to be submitted to the state
by November 1st. So you have to have held your public hearing at least, a good amount of time prior. The National Council is I think September 30th is their chosen date to hold the public hearing on the budget. Then the adoption of the budget is scheduled for the regular October meeting, which I believe is the 21st, if I remember correctly. And that gives them any time if changes need to be made, a little bit of time, if anything needs to be made between the 30th and the public hearing and the November 1st date. So
the Nashville Democrat reported on the police budget, trying to increase that line. Not everyone seemed to be on board. What's the issue there?
There was some council members who they were, they're taking their role of being the, I try to encourage them that their number one role is to watch out for the taxpayer dollars and to construct a budget. And sometimes that's overlooked. I know in my career, it's been overlooked by other elected officials I've worked with. And so I think a couple of them has really wanted to dive into the budget this year and look and see, are they spending money on their priorities? I think as they've done so, they've realized that it's a small budget. There's not a lot of things to cut. Maybe there's a better way to spend monies that are coming in on different items. It looks like that process has been a good educational process to learn how this budget's really constructed, and that 24/7 security from a policing perspective is important. And how do you fund it and fund other priorities? And so I think that's what they're doing right now. They're really taking apart some of the additional funds, not just the general fund. How do we use those? What are they eligible to be used for? Can you pay off some debt? Can you eliminate, you know, other items? It doesn't eliminate personnel. Can you increase the productivity of personnel through, you know, market rate increases? It's been a fairly decent process, sometimes contentious. I think people are used to the budget just being not rubber stamped, but, you know, with a budget as small as the town of Nashville has, there's really just not a lot of room to work with. And that, you know, public safety takes up a good portion of it. But I think as they dive in, they learn, you know, if they can shift money from the, from there to a different fund, the percentage of the public safety takes up is actually not as high as it has to, it needs to be to you know, properly fund public safety activities. But I think they've just asked, you know, especially the chief of police, just to, can you give us facts? And I won't use the word justify, that sounds defensive, but, you know, please let the public know why it costs this much money to run a 24/7 department, and why we would need one. So good questions asked. I think a good response, the public responded. It seems that the public participation in the process has waned quite a bit through the last couple of budget hearings. But the last budget hearing was incredible. I think it was very productive. Council members did their job of diving in and having a good understanding of how the appropriations work, where they should go, and what their priorities are.
Just interesting to hear some of the same issues pop up in different communities, because we just talking about the Bloomington police say they are overworked, underpaid, they're leaving to other communities. The city maintains the budget is fair, and it's just not a great time to see people entering that type of workforce, the, you know, police enforcement. Does that sound familiar at all to you?
I bet we could talk to 10 communities and we can get the same 10 answers, Joe. I think what this comes down to potentially is a state house issue and how budgets are actually allowed to be, or revenue especially is allowed to be gathered in communities. The levy controls that we have here, along with the constitutional tax caps that went into place, you know, 10, 12 years ago, that's now putting a strain on local budgets to the point where, you know, what does it cost to operate, and our revenue is really coming in to cover those operational costs, not fat in the budget, not overspending, not using money the wrong way. I think that most communities I've worked with, they use it the right way. There's just not enough money, especially in a place like Nashville that has had stagnant growth. That's not a bad word. It's just, it hasn't. Communities that have tremendous growth, they can get the revenue they need based on the percentage of growth. But places that have stagnant assessed value growth, like Brown County and Nashville do, it's really tough to keep up with the current costs of these items as these things change and how we do them. And, you know, radios cost more than they did. Technology is expensive. Vehicles are, I think I heard the other day, vehicles are at an all-time high for new vehicle average price is at an all-time high, probably 30% higher than it should actually be just because of the market. So I think we really need to look at working with our legislators in Indianapolis to figure out, you know, different remedies to some of these issues. Because as you've seen, it's not just Nashville and Brown County, it's statewide.
Well, and then we've been talking about how the town has to or looking to fund water, sewer infrastructure. You mentioned last month about grants would be so key. And I think 2 months ago, you talked about how the Brown County State Park is funding some infrastructure to get those services. What is there anything new to report on those?
Well, I will thank the state. 23 communities received grant money from the SWIFT program, which is the State Water Infrastructure Grant Fund that was created from the $50 million of the $100 million the state received in ARPA capital projects money from the federal government. And and 23 communities received grant dollars. Nashville received $2 million. Our ask was, I think, $5 million, but the $2 million is good. It will help rehabilitate the wastewater treatment collection system and plant. And now the Utility Service Board and the council have to talk about additional capital projects. But yes, you bring up another really good point of what's probably inching our way to becoming the state's number one crisis. And that is the provision of safe water service and provision of you know, taking that used water away from your home and treating it. I think I heard a stat of $1.7 billion is needed just to fix small systems in the state of Indiana, just to fix. That does not expand, that does not, you know, innovate, does not increase technological capacity, just to fix. And that's, I think I heard 500 some odd communities applied for assistance through the SWIFT grant program. 23 were funded. So that should tell you something. Yeah.
There's an interesting article too about fixing the town's drainage problem, but that was just a tab of about $11 million. But it was interesting to me to read about how a town can form a utility, I guess, to help fund and structure it. Is that right?
Yeah, any town can form a stormwater utility to pay for the infrastructure that's underground. And if you think about it, that stormwater infrastructure is everywhere, but we don't treat that. So we don't, most places don't have that utility. And so the trouble is with places small as Nashville is what's the impact even on creating a utility and putting a rate in that's reasonable. It would take probably 50 years to get to half of the $11 million that you would need. If you didn't want to price residents out of the market and business owners out of the market on what you're going to charge for a stormwater rate, utility rate. So, you know, these are issues as well. When you see that daunting number of $11 million and you have zero revenue coming in, you have a little bit of revenue from food and beverage. Food and beverage is allowed to be, or no, from CCD. CCD is allowed to be used. CUMCAP development can be used in Nashville for stormwater, but that's what, 30 grand a year. So that's a big whale. That's a big whale to chew. Once again, so you're looking at $30 million in fixes to the water and wastewater side, $11 million in fixes to the stormwater side. That doesn't even include road and sidewalk infrastructure, which ADA ramps alone, I think, are about $200,000 that need to be done by ADA mandates in the town of Nashville. So it's a task that the council, I think, is taking seriously. You know, a lot of unfunded mandates that they need to do, and they have a budget of about $1 million a year, all funds combined. On the tax side, it's about $1 million a year, and on the utility side, it's about $2.5 million a year. So just not a lot of revenue coming.
Well, I know we're getting close on time, but I did want to see if you had any announcements or any special things that you'd like to say, or maybe some note to those who are thinking about coming down to Nashville this coming month. October will be here before you know it, and I would assume that month is probably when you see the most visitors.
It is. Come on down. Please. Be safe, be courteous. If a mask is warranted by a business owner, please wear it. Any information you may need is obviously the visitor center. Jane Ellis and her staff do a great job, so they're ready to go. The business owners need your support to move on to another year. And so I think everybody's ready and ready for fall in Nashville and Brown County as far as fall goes. So,
all right. Well, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it. And we'll get an update and see how it's going in about 4 weeks.
Great. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.